Hare Krishna everyone. So we'll just briefly review what we discussed last class. So Krishna is talking about how this material world is temporary, right? So it has so much fluctuations or flux. So any points anybody remembers? Which verse onwards? 16, right? Or 15 to 19. Can say share some point.
If we didn't remember the Krishna and end of death, and that this, unfortunately that is the end of the day of Brahma, then we have to wait so long time to get back again, same human body or any other body. So that is how important we have.
Very nice, yeah.
This human form is very fortunate. That's what we have to realize, especially in this process we realize it. How fortunate we are, and how after long time we are getting this.
The Prabhupada says in one lecture, even one moment, time is so precious, one moment gone, even if you pay $1,000,000, you cannot get it back, right? He told about a particular day, like some September 25th, 4 o'clock. Now, in the next moment, I cannot get it back, September 25th, 4 o'clock, right? Cannot get it back. You know, so the time is so precious, and for devotees, that's why they, you know, will be very cautious, you know, how they can utilize every moment in serving Krishna. So they don't waste and they fully utilize it for serving Krishna. And also for devotees, actually time expands. In for materialists, it says the day, when the day starts and the day end, they are coming one day closer to death. That's what, they are just, you know, coming closer to death. Nothing else is happening. But for devotees, they are coming closer to Krishna every day, when the day starts and day ends. And also, because the devotee has such a wonderful service attitude, time expands such that they can do more services. So what does it mean, time expands? Means somehow devotees get more time. If they find more time to do whatever services they want to do. No, like it's very wonderful actually. Because initially when we are not devotees, we feel, oh, I just have 8 hours, I have to sleep, so much time, you know. We even to chant one round, we would have hesitated, oh, my day is full, you know, how will I even chant one round? You know, it's like that we say. But slowly we chant 16 rounds, we still do so many services, so many things, still we want to do more, some more we'll be able to do. So that's the, you know, that's the yoga maya basically. It's all about our desire to serve Krishna. That's very nice. Okay, that's all. I think everybody overviewed everything, right? The whole thing. Any other points? Did we discuss this? I don't know in which context.
That was the last verse only. I don't remember the exact
discussion,
but that was the line something.
I took it. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Your mercy is like rain falling everywhere, but if it's a stone, it doesn't melt. But if it's a fertile ground, something gets, you know, grown up, right? So like that, it's our heart. Our heart is receptive to Krishna Bhakti, receptive to serve Krishna. Then when the mercy comes, it immediately acts. But if the heart is very hard and very, because of offenses, or because of offenses to Krishna and devotees, then even if mercy comes, we cannot even perceive, it doesn't go inside. It becomes like an iron rod. You cannot penetrate with a needle. Okay, so I will cover today's section. These are very, very short verses, but we'll see how much we can do. So now Krishna is talking about the spiritual world little bit. You know, he discussed about material world, what it is, and essentially the point is, this is how the preaching technique actually. We talk about the miseries of this material world. We talk about disillusion, or rather we talk about lack of hope. There is no hope, there is no happiness. But then we should also give positive alternative. Otherwise people say we are depressive people, or we are pessimistic, right? But we are pessimistic about this material world because we have all hopes about Krishna and spiritual world. That's why, and we don't want any taste, we don't want anything from this world. Because we know, it's temporary, and to some extent we experience that there is no happiness. So that's why now Krishna also is going to talk about his spiritual world, giving us, a picture of what it is like. So we can all, our hankering to go and, be with Krishna increases. That's what it all about. So why does Krishna come personally to perform his pastimes? And also, he comes once in a day of Brahma. See, each Brahma lives 100 years. Right? There's so many Brahmas, right? We discussed that. And in Brahma 100 years, there are so many days. So each day of Brahma, Krishna descends into the universe. In each of the universes. Personally.
So the devotees can meditate upon the pastimes of Krishna to associate with him in that meditative state.
Yeah, basically to attract the conditioned souls to the spiritual world. So it's like a coming and doing an advertisement. Like if suppose there is a movie or something going on, right? People they come and do shows, right? Or like ads. Trailer. They show the trailer, right? He comes and shows the trailer. This is what it is like if you come and be with me. Then we will get attracted. Those who see it, those who hear it, they get attracted. They will like, let me also, practice devotional service, become pure and actually enjoy pastimes with Krishna. Like that. So to get that eagerness, hankering, Krishna personally comes and he shows his pastimes. But, one second. So then, but the thing is, when Krishna wound up his pastimes and he left, we discussed this in the class, right? He felt, I came and performed my pastimes, but I didn't give chance for the souls to participate. It's like a drama, the movie actors are performing, you just sit and watch. But you're not part of it. Unless you're part of it, you don't feel the emotions, right? Of course, we can feel a little bit, when the hero cries, you cry, and the heroine gets kidnapped, you cry. But it's not really like, you're one of the character in the movie. So then Krishna said, I didn't give chance for these people to participate. So he came as Gauranga Mahaprabhu to perform his pastimes, where all the conditioned souls can take part in his leela. So that is the Sankirtan movement, actually. It may feel like, it's very esoteric actually in a way, that Sankirtan movement is actually considered non-different from Rasa Leela of Krishna. It's very, very deep. So that to extent to which we can assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our spiritual masters in pushing on this movement, to that extent we get qualified to serve Radha Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Got it? So it's basically the compassion. To the extent we grow our compassion in the heart for the souls and see the relationship with Krishna and work on the Krishna's desire to bring them back home, to that extent we also become qualified to go back home. It's not like I just sit and do Nijan Bhajan. Okay, now I have my chanting. I can chant my own. No, why should I deal with other people? Why should I share with other people? No, it's not. There are two types. Bhajanandi and Goshanandi. Bhajanandi is like, aloof, he sits and he chants, does his bhajan. But Goshanandi means he preaches. There are two types of, devotees. So we are like Goshanandi. Our movement, especially Prabhupada says, preaching is the one which keeps us. Otherwise, so many churches, so many religions have been there, and there are so many temples, so many churches. But they're all vacant, Prabhupada says, actually. Now if you see, nothing happens there. The people are selling churches to ISKCON. because you know there is some activity. And now why our movement is thriving? Because of preaching. Because of Prabhupada has actually, if you hear any of his Prabhupada's disciples, you will hear this mood of, he imbibed that preaching spirit in all his disciples, and those disciples indirectly, they give to us also. Now the spirit to, what is preaching? Preaching is, this very nice statement I heard, I think Mukundatha Prabhu shared. Preaching is sharing our rasa with Krishna. So we have a relationship with Krishna to some extent, we have realized it. We are experiencing it, right? You know, a certain person may experience taste in the holy name, experience taste in reading scriptures, taste in practicing devotional service. So we share that taste with others. So they also, you know, get attracted and say, you know, okay, I also want to participate, practice. That's what it is. It's not about, okay, I am great, you are low, I'll tell some verses, you hear. That's all mundane. But this is the, you know, essence. No, we share our rasa. So unless we have a rasa with Krishna, or you know, not like, you know, topmost rasa I'm not talking about, even, you know, to some extent, unless we have certain realizations, whatever we say doesn't have any effect. Because the effect will be there as much as we have realizations. Even if we talk big things, unless we have that realization, it doesn't change the heart. People may hear like, oh, this is scholarly class, you know, I'm attracted. That heart will not get touched. Okay. Yeah, somebody, many people had some questions. I stopped all that.
Yeah, remember Mahavir had said that in one Brahma's day, there are 4,000 types of this yuga. So then if Krishna is appearing once in Brahma's day, or in each yuga is appearing?
Okay. So because in every yuga, there is the Dwapara, right, where Krishna appears. Okay, so I think maybe I should clarify then. I think the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, but other Krishnas are his expansions. The original Krishna from Goloka Vrindavan, he comes once in the middle actually. Just recent Krishna is that Krishna. And recent Mahaprabhu is that original Krishna come in the form of Mahaprabhu. But otherwise, this is non-different actually, but there is some difference.
Normally, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga and Kali Yuga. This is the structure. But for this, because Krishna appears as it is, as a person, that's why his first, this Yuga is like Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga happened, after that Dwapara Yuga come. Then Treta Yuga. That is the reason Dwapara Yuga connected to Kali Yuga. Normally, it won't connect to Kali Yuga. That's what I
mean. Yeah, I also have that, yeah.
Like normally, yugas, four yugas is like Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, one is second, and Treta Yuga three, and Kali Yuga four. This is the structure normally. But our structure right now, what yuga is going is Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga has happened, then Dwapara Yuga happened. So swipe
three. Yeah, because when Krishna in Bhagavatam also,
Krishna appeared because of that.
Because Swami Bhagavan Krishna appeared, and the moment Krishna left, Bhagavatam also it said, Kali's symptoms have started. So, you know, the Krishna Dwapara Yuga happened before Kali Yuga. So then everybody was, then Bhagavatam sages asked the question, you know, okay, Krishna took away all the religion, his embodiment, personification of religion. So he left, then where can we find religion? That's a question we are going to discuss. Then they told the religion, you can find the light of the religion in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Purana is the one which gives the light in this darkness of Kali Yuga. Okay, anybody has any question? Other questions? It's okay? Okay.
One element, but this is not our question. Like if the sequence is not the same, right? Here it is mentioned like each year is half of the, like 432,000 years is, and then the one is double and the like. So will the sequence also change?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's
no, I'm just asking.
Okay. So we'll so now we gave this brief trailer, right? So Krishna is advertising his spiritual world now. So let's hear with, you know, great earnestness and hopefully get attracted to, you know, be part of that world. Text number 20. Parastasmatu bhavonyo vyakto vyakta sanatana yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nasya suna vinashyati. Yet there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. We can read the purport, small purport.
Krishna's superior spiritual energy is transcendental and eternal. It is beyond all the changes of material nature, which is manifest and annihilated during the days and the night of Brahmas. Krishna's superior energy is completely opposite in quality to material nature. Superior and inferior nature are explained in 7th chapter.
Yeah. So, you know, this Krishna has three energies. What are the three energies?
Energy, external energy and marginal energy.
Material energy and?
Spiritual energy.
Yeah, three energies. So, so Krishna's spiritual abode, everything is made of his spiritual energy. And here we see, whatever we see is the material energy, and jivas are made of his marginal energy. So which verses Krishna is, Prabhupada is talking about in 7th chapter? He's talking about superior and inferior nature. Bhumi, upper, analo, vayo, right? The five elements. That one, and then after that there's yet, there is just jivas who are trying to exploit the material nature. Okay. That's okay, we can easily find the verses. Okay, we'll go to the next verse, text number 21. Avyakto akshara iti yukta stam mahu paramam gatim yam prapyana nivartante tadama paramam mama. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as a supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. See, actually so many verses Krishna says, one attains a spiritual abode, never return. See, this is the second time he's telling now. And one more verse also should be there. Okay, so we'll read the purport, very nice one. So there's a description of the spiritual world, so we can pay attention to that.
The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described in the Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. The supreme abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstones. There are also trees called desire trees that supply any type of eatable upon demand, and there are cows known as Surabhi cows which supply limitless supply of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, and he is called Govinda, the primal Lord and the cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow his flute, Venum Kvanantam. His transcendental form is the most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals, and the color of his body is like the color of the clouds. He is so attractive that his beauty excels that the clouds. He wears saffron cloth, a garland around his neck, and a peacock feather in his hair. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small hint of his personal abode. Goloka Vrindavan, which is supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in Brahma Samhita. Vedic literature's Katha Upanishad state that there is nothing superior to the abode of the Supreme Godhead, and that abode is the ultimate destination. Purusan na param kinchit sa kasta paramagati. When one attains to it, he never returns to the material world. Krishna's supreme abode and Krishna himself are non-different, being of the same quality. On this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is a replica of that supreme Goloka Vrindavan, located in the spiritual sky. When Krishna descended on this earth, he spotted on that particular tract of land known as Vrindavan, comprising about 84 square miles in the district of Mathura, India.
Well, for us, it says 84. In some books. Okay. Okay, who knows these verses in Brahma Samhita? Chintamani prakara satma shukalpa vruksha Lakshmi sa. Sarabhiravipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrama Sevyamanam గోవిందమాది పురుషం తమహం భజామి వేణుం పనంతమరవింద దళాయతాక్షం పాతావితం తమసితాంబుత సుందరాంగం కుంతల్పకోటి కమనీయ విశేష శోభాం గోవిందమాది పురుషం తమహం భజామి. సో బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్సెస్. ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ ద చింతామణి ధామ, అదు యు నో స్పిరిచువల్ వరల్డ్, అండ్ ద సెకండ్ వర్స్ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ కృష్ణ. సో అట్రాక్టివ్, సో దర్ సో మచ్ ఆపులెన్స్ ఇన్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ వరల్డ్, సో మెనీ ఆపులెన్సెస్, లైక్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆపులెన్సెస్ ఆర్ యు నో దేర్స్ డిజైర్ ట్రీస్, కల్పవృక్ష ట్రీస్, సో వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ వాంట్ దే విల్ గివ్, అండ్ దేర్ ఇస్ సురభి కౌస్, బౌండ్లెస్ సప్లై ఆఫ్ మిల్క్, దే జస్ట్ రన్ అండ్ దిస్ పోర్ వాటర్ మిల్క్ ఎవ్రీవేర్, దే ఆర్ సో ఫుల్ యు నో ఇన్ మిల్క్. Then, what else? Desire trees, touchstones, transcendental touchstones. And there are millions and thousands and millions of, Lakshmi serving Krishna in the Goloka Dham. That's about the Dham. And then about Krishna, what are some of his features?
Eyes
are like lotus petals.
His body is like
clouds. Like cloudish, bluish black.
And
saffron yellow color. Dhoti,
garland,
Vaijayanti mala, garland around his neck, and then he is wearing peacock feather. So we can imagine Krishna, right? So beautiful. Did everybody have this experience of seeing a deity of Krishna and being mesmerized? You should have had, right? So beautiful, right? So attractive. Yeah, it is said that actually if we want to get rid of lustful desires, desire for sex and profit, adoration and distinction, one should meditate or look and gaze upon the eyebrows of Krishna. When we just focuses and remembers and sees the eyebrows of Krishna, the lustful propensities will reduce. It's a very practical technique of deity worship. Because he is all pure, all the rasas are original, pure form are there in Krishna. So when we repose all those things in Krishna, then all these propensities get purified. These things. And one who has got accustomed to seeing the beauty in the deity of the Lord, they don't find any beauty in this world actually. Every day if somebody goes to temple and sees the Lord during Mangalarti, Prabhu can say actually, his experience. He will find whatever in, a wife or beautiful wife or anything, or so-called wealth or prosperity, it seems so pale. Because that's a transcendental beauty, right? Once you tasted that nectar, that's what Yamunacharya says, right? Once I tasted the nectar of service to your lotus feet, when I think about sex, I feel, my mouth curls in distaste. He feels, I cannot even imagine that, it's like that. Such higher taste actually, This all happens because of transcendental loving service with the Lord and Lord's reciprocation. So we should become attracted to Krishna. So our teacher
says cows and also all type of animal and peacock feather. So definitely there has to be a peacock also. So animals are also that. So in material world, every animal has a spirit spark same as mine. It's a human type body, but they have an animal type. So in spiritual sky also, a soul, once it transits from this material world, can have a animal type body or like that is also possible.
Yeah. So basically there are different rasas with Krishna, right? One is neutral, then servitorship, then friendship, parental, and then conjugal. So neutral is actually all these trees there. There are trees in the spiritual world. Everything is conscious. They are conscious. Of course, here also they are conscious. Conscious means that is the service to Krishna. They are just praying, when will Krishna come below, so I can give him shade. They are just waiting. Remember this incident in Damodar Lila past time. The milk, when she put the milk, right, for boiling, Yashoda Mata, so that she can make butter after, giving lot of very, very special grass to special cows, 108 cows. Then from that milk, she fed 10 cows. From that milk, she fed few cows like that. I don't know the exact number. And then she got this special, it's called some Gandha milk, Panchaganda or Panchagavya, some milk. So that milk, she wanted to make butter for Krishna because she feels like Krishna is going and stealing butter in different people's home. You know, something wrong. Maybe I'm not giving him good quality, food. So let me give the full energy and give him the best so that, you know, he doesn't go and steal anywhere else. So she's boiling that milk. And then Krishna says, okay, I want to drink breast milk. And he comes. And then immediately she noticed that the milk is boiling over. So then she just keeps Krishna down, runs to stop it. But do you know why the milk is boiling over?
Milk is like feeling bad that I didn't get a chance to serve Krishna, so better I will jump into fire and give my book.
Yeah, so milk is thinking, actually, Yashoda Mata with all her love is feeding Krishna, why will Krishna taste me? Because, you know, she has, that's more purer, that's more lovely for Krishna. So why will Krishna even like to drink my milk? So, you know, better I commit suicide. So the milk is conscious. So it's jumping over and like, okay, I'm committing suicide. Then she comes and stops so that she can also use her or him in Krishna's service. So that's why, you know, that's example of everything is conscious. Even the trees and palaces there, everything is conscious. Stones, everything is conscious. So like that, we have animals also in the neutral rasa or for example, monkeys there, right? They are actually, they have exchange of rasa also, right? Krishna gives butter to monkeys, all those things. Okay.
The verses which you sang from Brahma Samhita, is that something to memorize? I'm thinking like they all sang, but I couldn't.
Yeah, because here, whenever we have any program, initiation, especially Prabhupada, Sri Prabhupada had this thing of reciting Brahma Samhita. So that's how we recited. So over a period of time, some of the verses we learnt like that. And also some of the verses during Darshan Arti, Shungar Arti, we sing. Couple of verses we sing.
Yeah.
Those verses. Yeah, it's good actually. It is said Brahma Samhita, if you memorize, it's all about description of Supreme Lord and His devotees and abode and everything. It's very potent actually. Very potent. If you have the ability to, like some people like to memorize, right? So then it's good to tackle these things. Very nice. Every day morning when you get up, you can recite whole Brahma Samhita.
48 verses.
48, yeah. So another point, after this thing is, when one attains to it, he never returns to the material world. Because just imagine, right, once you tasted that so much beautiful, so much wonderful, so much happiness is there, why will we come back again, you know, to this miserable material world? Okay, so that's point. And then Prabhupada is saying, okay, not only Goloka Vrindavan is there where it's unreachable, unmanifest, we cannot even perceive, but the same Goloka Vrindavan is descended, you know, it's in this Vrindavan area where Krishna performed his pastime. So it's there here. So that's why devotees go on parikrama. It said that Krishna has never left Vrindavan. So pure devotees can always see him there. But that's why he said Vrindavana is a consciousness of the, it's a state of consciousness. It's not the place. So wherever we are, if you remember Krishna, Prabhupada said that incident, right? Even in loft of Bowery in New York, because I'm remembering Krishna all the time, I'm in Vrindavan. But somebody may go to Vrindavan for gambling or cheating. Then they are not remembering Krishna, then they are not in Vrindavan. So it's the state of consciousness. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse, text number 22. Purusha sapara partha bhaktya labhyastu ananyaya yasyanta stani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. So now Krishna is telling, okay, he described how this abode looks like. Now he is going to tell about how to attain that abode. Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all pervading and everything is situated within him. So he is saying only by unalloyed devotion can he be attained. And then even though he is in his abode, he is all pervading due to his energies. Because everything is situated within him. That means everything is situated in his energy, either material or spiritual energy. So we'll read the second paragraph. To enter Krishna's abode,
for the innumerable Vaikuntha planets, it is possible only by bhakti, devotional service, as clearly indicated here by the word bhaktya. No other process can help attain the supreme amount. The Vedas, Gopala Tapani Upanishad 1.21, also describe the supreme abode and the supreme personality of Godhead. Eko Vasi Sarva Gala Krishna. In that abode, there is only one supreme personality of Godhead whose name is Krishna. He is the supreme merciful deity, and although situated there as one, he has expanded himself into millions and millions of greenery expansions.
You can pause it. Yeah, so essentially the crux is only by devotion we can enter into the spiritual planet. So we made a mistake, we had the devotion, we made a mistake. So the only way is to again cultivate and attain that pure devotional platform. That's when we can go back again. Because there is no room for envy there, right? There is no, Krishna is the supreme, not everybody is serving him. So in order to be there, we cannot go there and again keep saying, you know, why Krishna is being served. We should all clear off all this rubbish and then go there to happily serve. So we can't, otherwise we'll cause disturbance. That's why Maya is actually, Maya Devi, Durga Devi, that is her, it said it's her thankless task. No, she actually once asked Krishna, all the devotees are serving you favorably. No, they are trying to help everybody come closer to you. But my task is to keep them away from you. No, if everybody look at me as a bad person. Right? We scold, right? Why Maya is like this? You know, why she is doing like this? Then, but she is actually doing service to Krishna because she wants to prevent people who are not qualified from entering the dham and disturbing the leelas of the Krishna. So whoever is unqualified, she will stop them. So she keeps giving so many tests, so many allurements, so many reversals, so many things, so that somehow or the other she can keep us entrapped here. Unless one is very, very sincere, very eager, only that person can slowly, when Krishna sees that, okay, Maya Devi, I trust him, him or her, you know, don't disturb. Then, slowly that person will actually make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Actually, this statement Indrajit Maharaj repeats often, we make advancement in Krishna consciousness only through blessings. Any advancement we make in Krishna consciousness is only through blessings. It's not, we make our endeavor, but the endeavor only attracts mercy. But actually the advancement, because the spiritual advancement, it happens only through blessings. Blessings of spiritual master or devotees. So if you can be favorably disposed to devotees and somehow please them, they need not explicitly say anything. This is a very nice thing I understood actually, you know. They need not explicitly say, oh, I bless you. You know, something. Just because their heart is pleased, automatically we make advancement. It's so wonderful. Because Krishna's devotees are more dearer to Krishna than himself, right? He loves his devotees more. So when he sees somebody serving the devotees, Krishna will be very, very happy. Then, and when devotees are pleased, then automatically Krishna will be pleased and we'll make advancement in spiritual life. So this is actually the secret of success. This is easily accessible, which we miss. At least initially when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was thinking, oh, I'll serve Krishna, oh, I've now got a chance to serve Krishna. But we are not qualified to serve Krishna directly, right? Very nice incident I remember now, a personal incident I can share if you permit. So when we got initiated, right, in the initiation lecture, so I was the last one, there were six people, four of us got initiated, Rasachandra, Mataji and Madhava Prabhu and myself, I think, yeah, four of us got initiated and I was the youngest, so I was the last one. And Yashomati Mataji, right, her name is Yashomati Dasi, Maharaj gave. So in lecture while giving the name, sometimes spiritual masters, they explain the name, what it is and so that, you know. So he told, Yashomati, she has two sons, right, Vivek and Ayush. So he told like, you know, you have two sons like Krishna Balaram. So I'm going to give you name of Yashoda Mata. So you can meditate on her mood, how she takes care of Krishna Balaram. Like that you raise your children. So that's why I'm giving you name of Yashoda. Your name from now on is Yashomati Dasi. Okay, ding 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 ding. Then, Madhava Gauranga Prabhu said, actually you're getting a special mercy of both Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So that is Madhava and Gauranga are of Mayapur. So somehow we are always attracted to Mayapur, and our we get so much mercy from Mayapur, and our kids also, they watch Aarti from Mayapur and they naturally got attracted to that. So some special mercy, Mahaprabhu is very merciful. So yeah, so said you get special mercy from both Madhava and Gauranga. So that's why your name is, your servant of them. Then Shyamala Dasi, he told, like, you know, Shyamala is one of the leader of the gopis. So she has a gang of gopis and she engages all of them in serving Krishna, like, you know, like group, doing some service to Krishna. So that's fine. And then I was so maybe neophyte or innocent, we can say. You can guess what I would have asked. So everything, all the session was over. We came outside, right? So, like, you know, when Maharaj was outside, so we can talk some, you know, just saying thank you, like, you know, we thank you for accepting us. We are so joyful, everything. So we then I asked so naively that, Maharaj, you mentioned that Gurudev, you mentioned that, you know, Yashomati Mataji can meditate on Mother Yashoda to, you know, do her service. So should I also be meditating on the gopi, you know, to my service? Then he laughed. Yeah, that will come sometime, someday. But now, for now, you're servant of your guru. So then I was like, actually, in one way, it's a blessing. He's saying one day it will come. Right, he's telling, you know, one day he's giving a blessing, one day it will come. Also, other time he's saying, you know, first you serve your spiritual master nicely, become a proper servant, then with that you will get all the mercy. So that's what I was saying, you know, serving devotees, through that we can get everything. Especially spiritual master, if you get opportunity to serve them personally or, you know, some indirectly. So, you know, through that we can get, the whole spiritual abode opens up to us.
But that's not true, though.
Which one?
It definitely come to, but it is already happening now.
Oh.
What has Spiritual Master just told you, right?
No.
I see you doing so many after Mataji. With other
We don't know, yeah. No, that's in a different mood, right? That's like, that's a different Rasa, right? Okay. So, okay, so we are reading this verse, right? So we discuss this verse. Yeah, so we'll go to the next verse, text number 23. Yatra kale tva anavritam avavritam chaiva yogina prayata yanti tam kalam vakshyami bharatarshaba. O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Okay, so now Krishna is talking about time of death, how it's crucial, especially for yogis, to whether to come back or no. Based on a certain time when they leave the body, they will come back, or otherwise they don't come back. Essentially, repeated birth and death.
Irrespective of if he remembers or
not. Exactly. These are like, actually we are talking about Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Yeah, we'll talk about what does it mean in the context of devotees also. We'll talk about that. So we'll read the first paragraph.
The unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are totally surrendered souls, do not care when they leave their bodies or by what method. They leave everything in Krishna's hands and so easily and happily return to Godhead. But those who are not unalloyed devotees, and who depend instead on such methods of spiritual realization as Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Hatha Yoga must leave the body at a suitable time in order to be sure of whether or not they will return to the world of birth and death.
Yeah. So here he clearly mentioned there is a specific time one has to leave, but devotees leave everything to Krishna. It doesn't matter where they live, whether anybody is chanting next to them. No, it doesn't matter for them. They are always remembering Krishna. So the moment of death, Krishna will take care of them. But whereas other yogis, karma yoga, jnana yoga, hatha yoga, it's much important when they leave. So we'll see what are the times Krishna describes as, you know, leaving is better, auspicious, otherwise it's not. Text number 24. Agnir Jyotiraha Shukla Sanmasha Uttarayanam Tatra Prayada Gacchanti Brahma Brahma Vidojana. Those who know the Supreme Brahman, attain that Supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery God in the light at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. So this is where actually then they will not come back. So we'll read from third line. At the time of death, the mind carries
one on the path to a new life. If one leaves the body at the time designated above, either accidentally or by arrangement, it's possible for him to attain the impersonal Brahma Jyotar. Mystics who are advanced in yoga practice can arrange the time and place to leave the body. Others have no control. If by accident they leave at an auspicious moment, then they will not return to the cycle of birth and death. But otherwise, there's every possibility that they will have to return. However, for the pure devotee in Krishna consciousness, there's no fear of returning, whether he leaves the body at an auspicious or inauspicious moment, by accident or arrangement.
Got it, right? So they basically there are certain rules how things have to happen, but devotees, because they are always transcendental, doesn't matter to them. For them, you know, sometimes some devotees pass away very tragically. People will think, oh, Krishna has to protect devotees. Why? Especially Tamal Krishna Maharaj, she was just going to Mayapur a bit from Calcutta in the car, just hit the tree, and exactly I don't know the details of how it happened, and he just passed away, and with his disciple there, both of them. Like, just like that, he passed away. Everybody was shocked. Like, you know, how to understand this? So then they understood. Many of his godbrothers shared this realization that, you know, he is a sold out devotee of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada wanted him as an assistant somewhere else. Just took him like that. So like that, it doesn't matter. How, that's why actually our Guru Maharaj also says, when somebody leaves, don't ask how he left. Ask how he lived. No, that's important. How he lived his life when he's conscious. That's important, not how he left. Because left, it can happen in so many circumstances, situations, right? Which is not in our control. But when things are within our control, how does the devotee utilize his life in serving Krishna? That's important. And that's what is to be followed as an example. That's what the example is setting for others to follow. It's important. Don't ask me how he left, ask me how he lived. Yeah. So we'll go to the next verse. Text number 25.
Here one point, Mataji. Krishna said they'll attain impersonal Brahma Jyoti, right?
Huh.
So again they'll fall back, right? From
Yeah. Text number 25. Dhumo ratristata Krishna sanma sadakshina yanam tatra chandrama samchotir yogi prapya nivartate. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. So this devotee goes to the moon planet and comes back again. In the situation, he passes away. So this... smoke. Yeah, I don't know. It's basically darkness in the night and things like that. The night. Yeah. So, we can read the short paragraph in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni mentions that those who are expert in spiritual activities and sacrificial method on earth attain to the moon at death. These elevated souls live on the moon for about 10,000 years and enjoy life by drinking Soma Rasa. They eventually return to earth. This means that on the moon there are higher classes of living beings, though they may not be perceived by the
gross senses. Okay, so people made an expedition to the moon. They went and took some photographs, and they told, there are nobody living there. It's all blah. We can sell the land there, we can go and stay there. It's like, but it's very clear from the Shastras, there are residents who have appropriate bodies suitable to the environment who live there. And that's why, we cannot go there artificially just by traveling. For every place, we need visa. So the visa is the piety. We have pious, then we'll enter the moon planet. Okay, we'll go to the next verse, text number 26. So in this verse, Krishna is summarizing the previous verses about passing in the light and passing in the darkness. Shukla Krishne gati hi ete jagata shashvate mati ekaya yati anavrittim anyaya vrittvarte puna. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from the world, one in light and one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back. But when one passes in darkness, he returns. So we'll read the last three lines. Those who are fruitive laborers and philosophical speculators.
Those who are fruitive laborers and philosophical speculators from the time immemorial are constantly going and coming. Actually, they do not attain ultimate salvation, but for they do not surrender to Krishna.
Mm. So they are just yogis, they want some mystic powers. No fruitive workers, karmis and jnanis. So just even though they rise up little bit, they come back again. Because they don't surrender to Krishna. Unless we surrender to Krishna, we cannot go back to Krishna Loka. So we'll go to the next verse, text number 27. Naite shuti partha janjanan yogi muhyati kashana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjuna. Although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. So, devotees are never bewildered. Oh, you know, always being anxious. So, am I going to pass away in light? Am I going to pass away in smoke? They are not going to meditate like that. They are going to meditate every minute how I can serve Krishna. That's what they are going to think about. So, then because of that unalloyed absorption in Krishna, Krishna will protect them. So, we'll read first few lines of the paragraph. Krishna is here advising Arjuna.
Krishna is here advising Arjuna that he should not be disturbed by the different paths the soul can take when leaving the material world. A devotee of the Supreme Lord should not worry whether he will depart by arrangement or by accident. The devotee should be firmly established in Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. He should know that concern over either of these two paths is troublesome. The best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to be always doubted in his service, and this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe, certain and direct.
Hmm. So then no devotee doesn't worry about all these things, he's just worrying about serving Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. And the crux is saying, Prabhupada is saying, the best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that means best way to remember Krishna is actually dovetail everything in his service. So whatever objects we have, whatever qualities we have, whatever propensities we have, we dovetail in Krishna service. Everything can be engaged in Krishna service. It is said that only we need to know the knack how to do it. Everything, you know, to the greatest extent it can be possible engaged. Of course some, you know, illicit activities, those things cannot be engaged. But more to the most extent can be engaged. All the propensities to rule over, right? That can be done by, you know, ruling over a temple, you know, making sure the devotees are safe and protecting the devotees, right? Or tendency to manipulate. So you can devotees can do business for Krishna, not like that. So everything can be engaged in Krishna service. That way we can slowly, you know, become Krishna conscious, you know, absorbed in Krishna. And then Prabhupada is saying the path to spiritual kingdom becomes safe, certain and direct. Wow, so many adjectives. Safe, certain and direct. Very nice. So we'll go to the last verse, text number 28. Vedeshu yagneshu tapashu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam pratistam yatyeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanam ubhaiti chadyam. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all this, and at the end he reaches the supreme eternal abode. So somebody may say, oh, practicing devotional service, you know, they didn't do austerities, they didn't do sacrifices, they didn't do so many things. The very important verse is saying that a person who takes up devotional service, he's already fulfilled all those requisitions. That means he was earnestly taken devotional service means he has already attained the results of so many pious activities and sacrifices and austerities. Already. Otherwise, nobody can take up earnestness, devotional service in earnestness. Another point I remember from Indradhar Maharaj's lectures, he was saying, if some devotee is taken up devotional service with determination, if you see somebody doing devotional service with determination, it means that he is continuing from previous life. It's very obvious, he's saying, you know. If somebody is doing with so rigid determination, you know, not always conscious about the time and serving Krishna and all those things, not even giving any leeway, that means they're picking it up from previous life. Otherwise, it may be, you know, just this is the first time we are meeting Krishna and devotees. So we'll read this paragraph. So first part, Srila Prabhupada summarizes the Varnashrama institution, like, you know, Brahmachari, Svanaprastha, you know, all these points, and then summary is given later on, so I'm just going to read that. So we'll just read second paragraph, sixth or rather tenth line. By carrying out the orders of Brahmacharya householder life, maybe 15th line.
By carrying out the orders of Brahmacharya household life, one Vanaprastha and finally Sannyasa, one becomes elevated to the perfectional stage of their life. Some are then elevated to the heavenly kingdom, and when they become even more advanced, they are liberated to in the spiritual sky, either in the impersonal Brahmajyoti or in the Vaikuntha planet or in the Krishna Loka. This is the path outlined by the Vedic literatures. The beauty of Krishna consciousness, however, is that by one stroke, by engaging devotional service, one can surpass all the rituals of the different orders of life.
Yeah, very important point, right? So basically he described all this, Vanaprastha, Brahmachari, Sannyasa, all these things. But all of this are meant to ultimately attain love for Krishna. They are just facilitating, they are creating order in the society so that, you know, everybody can work together to attain that. But actually the essence of everything is that I am remembering Krishna, I am serving Krishna in whichever situation I am positioned in. So that's why Prabhupada is saying the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that by one stroke, they say one stroke, two birds, right? One stroke, by engaging in devotional service, one can surpass all the rituals of different orders of life. That means all the rituals of Vanaprastha, because the verse is talking about all the sacrifices, austerities. Prabhupada is talking about all these orders also. All these orders and the requirements of these orders are also fulfilled if one takes up devotional service in earnestness. So then we'll read the next paragraph. It's very important for us. Next two paragraphs. The words idam viditva.
Indicate that one should understand the instructions given by Sri Krishna in this chapter and the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One should try to understand these chapters not by scholarship or mental speculation, but by hearing them in association with the devotees. Chapters 7 through 12 are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The first 6 and the last 6 chapters are like coverings for the middle 6 chapters, which are especially protected by the Lord. If one is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita, especially these middle 6 chapters, in the association of devotees, then his life at once becomes glorified beyond all penances, sacrifices, charities, speculations, etc. For one can achieve all the results of these activities simply by Krishna consciousness.
So nice, right? So again, you know, same point. He's talking about practical terms now. If, you know, practically if you do devotional service, or more practically somebody studies these 6 chapters in association of devotees, that means he has fulfilled all penances, sacrifices, charities and speculation, everything. So much we are getting at one shot. So easily, you just have to sit and listen. But that's so tough actually. How many people will sit and listen to Krishna and, you know, his glories? Nobody is attracted. So, okay, we'll continue the next paragraph also.
One who has little faith in Bhagavad Gita should learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee, because in the beginning of the 4th chapter it is stated clearly that Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotee. No one else can perfectly understand the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee of Krishna, not from mental speculators. This is a sign of faith. When one searches for the devotee and fortunately gets a devotee's association, one actually begins to study and understand Bhagavad Gita. By advancement in the association of the devotee, one is placed in the devotional service, and this service dispels all one's misgivings about Krishna or God, and Krishna's activities from form, pastimes, name and other features. After these misgivings have been perfectly cleared away, one becomes fixed in one's study. Then one relishes the study of Bhagavad Gita and attains the state of feeling always Krishna conscious. In the advanced stage of In the advanced stage, one falls completely in love with Krishna. This highest perfectional stage of life enables the devotee to be transferred to Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan, where devotee become eternally happy. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in matter of attaining
Supreme. So this second paragraph, Prabhupada is talking about importance of hearing this Bhagavad Gita from a devotee. So we are so fortunate, our spiritual master was also saying, actually, before he came to Krishna consciousness, he read so many versions of Bhagavad Gita, but none of them was from any devotee. So he didn't have any clue about, you know, what's the goal of Bhagavad Gita, what is it, and some people deny Krishna directly. But when he came across Bhagavad Gita as it is, that's when he understood, you know, what is Bhagavad Gita about and what one should do to his one's life in order to practice the teachings. So we are so fortunate that that devotee is Srila Prabhupada, you know, he himself. Every verse, he gave a commentary. There is no need to speculate. The meaning is clearly given to us. So it's very nice. So we are fortunate to hear Bhagavad Gita as given by Srila Prabhupada. And the next, last section, Srila Prabhupada was summarizing the process of bhakti. So the faith, you know, this is a verse, right? Ato Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti and Prema. That's the different stages of bhakti, right? So initially it starts with little faith, and then the Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, associated devotees. Then he starts to begin devotional service, initiation, take the initiation, spiritual master. Then little, then Anartha Nivritti, all misgivings get cleared. Then he becomes fixed up in devotional service, that is Nishta. Then after that he gets some taste. So we always keep saying, right, oh, we don't have taste. That taste comes later on. Whatever we have, it's actually a reflection. Whatever taste we may experience, it's reflection. But the real taste of devotional service will come after Anartha Nivritti and after Nishta. The Ruchi, that's the Ruchi state. After that, we have intense attachment for Krishna. And then Prema, Bhava and Prema. So that's what the whole sequence Prabhupada is summarizing here. And that advanced stage, one falls completely in love with Krishna, the Prema stage. That's why it's so scientific, bhakti, actually. It may feel, initially, it seems like sentiment, or what is bhakti, but it's very, you know, the stages. Imagine, you know, scientifically, you can tell, after this stage, you go to this stage, this happens in this stage, if these are the symptoms of this stage, you can, you know, detect somebody based on the symptoms. It's so scientific. Then, this perfectional stage of life enables the devotee to be transferred to, because of the prema, he will be allowed to be transferred to Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavana, where the devotee becomes eternally happy. So thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of attaining the Supreme. So that's the 8th chapter. So any questions or comments?
So Mataji, anybody who dies during daylight time, he doesn't come back, that, you know, even though he lived his life as materialist?
No, that's a yogi.
Yogi, okay.
Like he was practiced it and, some Yoga Mishra Bhakti is doing. That's why even Bhishma Dev, right, he waited for the appropriate time. He did not do it actually, he's a pure devotee of the Lord. But I don't know why, for what reason he waited for that time. That special time, Sankranti, Makara Sankranti time, right? He to pass away. He was in the bed of arrows, and Krishna, he met Krishna, Pandavas, everybody, and he left.
I don't know, but I heard that like that he wanted to see the Yudhishthira Maharaj to be.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah, to that take the position.
That's the main purpose of life, his life. So he took the power, right? Who was taking the crown of that?
Hastinapur is the dharma. Yeah. He wants to see Yudhishthira Maharaj crown. That's a good point. Yeah. Any questions or comments or thoughts, reflections? So we have attained Supreme little bit this week, this chapter. Or we have a roadmap to attain Supreme. Next.
So how do you go deeper with this study?
How do we go?
We did the class and all. Just self-studying the purports, or there is some, like, what else should I be doing?
Very important question. So this is the same question I asked Radhakrishna Prabhu about Srimad Bhagavatam. Because I was trying to follow the instruction of Guru Maharaj gave about reading. But mostly it was, I didn't have much taste about reading. I was, okay, Bhagavad Gita somehow I finished, and then after that I started Bhagavatam. I was reading it. I was trying to, you know, because if I do read it superficially like a story, then I'll not retain anything. So I was writing some points. But still I felt, I didn't feel any tangible, you know, it's not like whenever I have time, I look forward to reading. That's what I can say now, you know, the difference. So then, so recently when Radhakrishna Prabhu came, I asked, you know, Prabhu, I always felt I don't know how to go deeply into Bhagavatam. I don't have taste and all those things. So then I asked him, then Prabhu said very clearly, you know, Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So Krishna has to reveal, Krishna has to reciprocate. So you pray to Bhagavatam that I want to, you know, go deeper. Please, you know, you reveal yourself to me. You pray to Bhagavatam, he said. And then he told, you can go deeper in the association of devotees. So then somehow it all fell in place. Then we started that Mataji's Bhagavatam session, right? So with that, somehow I don't know why Krishna gave this idea that, no, I can study the verses, whatever we do, section of verses. So we study section of verses and I try to, for every line in the purport, I try to see what is the point Sri Prabhupada is talking about here. No, what is the main point? What are the sub-points? How is he establishing his main point? No, what is his style is flowing through? So you might have looked at our notes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you look at our notes, you get an idea of what I was doing. So I could have just, initially I was doing with Navya Mataji and Madhavi Mataji. Half an hour I would have read and come and, you know, say something for 1 hour. But Navya was nicely sharing recently after the Mataji's classes, he was sharing, oh Mataji, I asked him, do you find any difference? Then she told, oh yeah, actually now I feel this is much deeper, more details are there, she told. Because that's much, in time is invested in studying. So now because I try to go, finalize the points, everything, then put them in the notes and try to figure out some stories which we can share, everything. So it's much more deeper. I feel... Okay, one thing is I'm sharing with others, hopefully thinking somebody will get benefited, but actually I feel I am getting benefited. Because I read once actually. Okay, I know I start from Tuesday or something, right? Okay, I've got to prepare and now we are doing this website, so I have to start earlier so we can publish the notes earlier. So I start, I read all these verses. I understand. But then, okay, I have to make points. How do I make points? So I read at least 4 or 5 times actually, the whole purports. 4 or 5 times, and then when writing and aligning the points, I read 2-3 times more. Same verses. It's so much, so much nectar actually. So I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to, at least this is what I felt, my approach. I'm just sharing my approach. I don't know, it may be different for you. I felt I was trying to just get into the mood of Srila Prabhupada. You know, for this particular verse, how is he presenting the points? It's like actually I felt he was giving a class. But this verse is giving a class. This purport is a class. So, you know, how is he logically going, you know, theme by theme? So, like that we can do for Bhagavad Gita also. I felt somebody was asking, oh, do you do this notes for Bhagavad Gita also? I said, oh, no, I'm already in 9th chapter. I didn't start it. I don't know whether I'll do it. It's too much. It's work. It's good. It's time. But it's time for Krishna. If you have the time, better to do it like this instead of, you know, if somebody who is scholarly, who is inquisitive and who likes to study, this is a way they can engage that propensity in serving Krishna. Especially if you are wanting to go deeper, this is a technique you can do. Like, you know, before the class, maybe, you know, you can analyze the purports, whatever I'm going to give the verses, right? We are going to do. If you have the time, you can analyze it and do it like how we do notes. And you can share that with the class. So everybody can look at that in the class. You can do that if you want. That's it. It's quite a bit of commitment, of course. You know, I can see that.
You have taken the audios from like Bhagavad Gita, or you are planning to put them back again?
No, no, it's there. Oh, we put it in different site. It should be redirecting to the different site, right? It's redirecting.
But the latest ones are not there.
The 8th chapter, last one is missing.
Oh, last one.
Because last week GBC came, whole life became random. So, and then I realized recently, and then I was busy with setting up the site and all, so I think I should hopefully do it tomorrow.
Now it's all in one site now.
Yeah, everything is in one site, it's presented hopefully properly and... Right?
My experience was like, last time I had asked you like about going to Tulip, and the other day Rumpa Swami Maharaj said about that, like somebody had asked Prabhupada about like, should we be actually looking at the beautiful, how the spring is so beautiful in Seattle and all. And then Rumpa Swami Maharaj said like, yes, like that's what Prabhupada said.
Mm.
You should and then always like look at what my master has created.
Yeah.
How majestic this is. Mm. So
Yeah.
That's the one which I have the question and you had answered. And,
yeah, very nice. Yeah. Okay, we'll end here. Hare Krishna. All your issues, Srila Prabhupada.